Assalamu alaikum. As you can see on my table, I have all these letters. They're the hurufi tahajji. What I have done is made them all on about 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters of colored paper. I have written on them with a cut nib marker, and then I have laminated them. These have been used for many, many children for many, many courses. It has proved to be very useful because they keep for a long time. I know that I need replacement now because they, as you can see, they're coming loose, but they have really been good because it's easy for the children to handle as well as to keep. They don't spoil very easily. The reason I've done this is that I feel that for children, you need to have, the children like to have concrete things in their hands. They like to touch, they like to feel, they like to see, they love color. And keeping all those things in mind, I have been using the system of teaching the huruf-e tahajji. And I find that even adults have found it very interesting and beneficial. I begin my lesson with the letter A. My lesson, the entire way of teaching is based on phonics, which means that every letter that I teach is not, for instance, this is alif, but I don't teach it as alif, I teach it with the sound a. So that way the child learns where the sound is coming from, and I feel that's very useful in applying a lot of concepts. The child learns sifat. He learns, the actual makharij, and a lot of things come into play when the child actually starts learning. You can start teaching the huruf-e tahajji at the age of 4, and you should be very clear with your ability to say the sounds as well. For instance, I relate every letter with a particular story. For instance, or something that the child will remember. So for instance, if I'm teaching A, I tell the children that this is A. He is a tall man. He's straight. So the child begins to visualize, okay, Alif, A is a tall man. He's straight. He looks like number one. So he associates that every time he sees this, he'll learn to recognize it as A. And sometimes when I want to ask the child again, what do you think it is? I'll sometimes hint and say, you know, tall man, what was the tall man? I say, ah, and I'll put up my finger and say, ah, or so that it becomes easier for the child to remember and familiarize himself with the sound. Now here I have ba and the, and we have the here. So if I put ba, the and the here, they're all similar in the sense that they are in the shape of like the elongated, like a boat, you can say, but they have their dots, and the children sometimes get confused with the dots on them. So a good way of teaching these is making up stories about why the dots were there. For instance, I tell the children, these are three sisters, and they were going to a party, and their mommy wanted to do their hair. Now, Ba did not want to have her hair done, so she sat on a stool, which represents the dot. Da, her mommy made her two plaits. So as you can see, there are two plaits on her head. One, two. And here is Tha. Her mummy made her three plaits, one on the side, one on the other side, and one on top. So the child learns to recognize it. Oh, Ba was the one who didn't want to have her hair done. So she has her dot. She's just sitting on her stool. Tha has two plaits, and Tha has got three. So this is the story of Ba, Tha, and Th. When I stress on the letter Th, or when I constantly remind the child that he or she needs to stick out their tongue, as they say this letter. Stick out this tongue and kind of their tongue and bite down on it as they say th, th. So they learn that it is not the sound that you make when you say the letter S, S. That's not the sound they're making. And there should not be a whistling sound coming from that letter as they say it. It must be a kind of a lispy kind of sound, th. I will try and show this to you as the child says it, so that it is clear to you how the pronunciation of the letter should be taught and done. And so here is your ba, da, and the.